Alison Keating and Ray O'Neill join us in studio, and we have a number of listeners' problems that they're going through at the moment, and Ray and Alison are about to give them advice. Hello.
Hello to you.
Welcome along. So we'll start with this one. Ray and Alison, I've been trying and failing to make friends since I moved to Dublin. I've done all the different walking groups, swimming groups, meetups. I've done courses, joined a choir, but no one seems interested in following up with me for things to do one-on-one. I've had tickets to gigs that I've offered and gone to waste as I don't want to go alone. I don't know what I'm doing wrongly. I had a nice circle of school friends at home who I keep in touch with, but they don't live where I live. I'm a 28-year-old woman, not interested in romance with any of these people, which I make clear when I invite them out. I just want friends, but they don't want me. Oh, Ray.
Oh, look, this is a really tough one because I just want... There's something strange in our world around how we used to socialise together, and it's just become a lonelier and a lonelier and a lonelier place. I think between technology, between working online, our lives have become remote. So I really feel for this person. My suggestion that I would make to you is you might be coming on too strong, and you may not be aware of that. One of the things with group politics is you have to become part of the group before you can start inviting people out on their own. So perhaps let the snow globe of group politics just settle down, get to know the group, and don't start carving people out individually until you've gotten to know the group a little bit more. Some people can feel a keenness and enthusiasm as a despair, and because of their own anxieties, they'll kind of run a mile for that. The other thing I'll say is, probably don't make it so clear to people that you're not interested in romance, because if you tell people not to think of a pink elephant, the first thing they'll think about is a pink elephant.
Yeah.
So perhaps drop that one. That will become clear in its own time.
Right. They've done everything that we would normally suggest somebody would do when they're looking for friends, the walking groups, swimming groups, the meetups, and nothing has worked for them, Alison.
Yes. But like, I think it's great that they're doing all these things. And it's really important that this person knows that they had great friends in school. And one of the reasons was because all the factors are there to make friends. You see each other all the time and you get to know each other. And like Ray's saying, it's that familiarity and where friendships build. Possibly the people who are in these groups are doing them for hobbies, that they actually enjoy walking or they enjoy swimming. And maybe they're going just for that. I just think it's about continue to do these things if you're interested in them. Like, don't just go to the group if you're not, because these, like, say someone's in the walking group, they might be avid walkers or, you know, really into cycling. So really pick something that you actually enjoy. And like Roy is saying, loneliness is a really major epidemic for people. And I think making friends as adults is something that's really challenging. So I really want to encourage you to keep going. Well done, and know that you can actually make friends, but it genuinely does actually take time. So every time you meet someone, there is an opportunity to kind of have that interaction together. But as Ray is saying, I wouldn't go too strong with it because people can pull back from that.
And what about inviting some of our school friends up? You know, because it's easier to go out if you're with somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Going into a bar or wherever on your own is daunting.
Big time.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea because it kind of, you feel less conspicuous when you have somebody with you and it's somebody that you know, trust and love. And sure, who doesn't love a big day out in the city?
But also can really ask them questions about themselves. Like, it is back to kind of Dale Carnegie's how to, you know, make friends, that it is about being interested in them. This person genuinely wants to make friends. They want to feel connected. But actually, I would find out about the other person.
Yes.
What's going on for them?
Yes.
Rather than it being like, oh God, what am I doing wrong here? Mm.
The other thing, I love what Alison said there about it's like sometimes we go along to these things because they're social events. Bring your passion. If you love books, join a book club. If you have a spiritual practice, join a prayer group, join a meditation group. Something where something more of your humanity is likely to be shared, and then you're more likely to click.
And meet your tribe, an overused
Do you know
word,
what? I think that's the right word here.
Yeah.
I actually am not sure this person has met their tribe yet. And maybe like they sound kind of straight talking and straightforward. So maybe they are the type of people that they're going to connect with. So if it's not connecting, then maybe look to other groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I hope you manage to make friends. Now, Ray and Alison, I was hoping to get some advice on how to approach my son and his wife about relying on me too much for childcare. They have one child who's in primary school who I adore, but see an awful lot of lately. My daughter-in-law has gotten a new job and I'm delighted for her. However, since she started the new job, my afternoons have changed. I find myself at the school gates 4 or 5 times a week now. Last year, I offered to pick up my grandchild once a week and we would go off for a little treat and I would help with the homework and do a dinner. I love the connection between the two of us and I felt useful. This year, it's all changed and I find myself transported back in time, chasing my tail to get to the pickups on time and helping with homework every single day. I asked my son if they have plans for an after school, but he said that there are no places, but didn't really continue the conversation beyond that about how I was feeling to be so relied on. I want to help them, but not so much. I feel like I am missing out on my own life. I would have used the afternoons to go to my aqua aerobics class or catch up with friends. But as I even typed that out, it seems a bit frivolous that I would ask to give up my social life in favour of helping them out. But I'm getting older and more tired and would like them to sort out an alternative. Alison.
I am seeing this like so more and more frequently. And what's striking me is the lack of regard people are falling into this and conversations aren't actually happening. So, I mean, you know, I want this person to really stand back and say that they're feeling like it's frivolous for them to have this time in this stage of their life. And they're wrong. And they know that it's not actually right to be in this position because they have done their parenting. And I love the lovely connection that they have and they go for the treat and they do the homework once a week and that's enough.
Yeah,
this stage, that's enough.
What's the expression? What's seldom is wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And just there needs to be she started the conversation or he started the conversation. It has to just be completely straight conversation here and just say, look, I absolutely adore the relationship I have with them and I really want things to go. I understand that there are massive difficulties with childcare places, but I would like to help and you specify. 1 week. Yes. I was really enjoying doing that. And then they might have to get childcare or someone in, but it isn't her problem to fix either.
Yeah.
It's a very tricky one.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very hard.
It's a difficult one because exactly like Alison, this conversation hasn't happened. Mm. And that's what's brilliant. You just make it normal by not talking about it. If you don't talk about it, then sure, isn't this what every grandparent does? And then when we start, things become normal, they get normalised and this has to stop. So, at the risk of upsetting you, Ray, I'm going to suggest there is also the path of not telling a full truth or telling a little fib. I'm not going to use the word lie. Or else just saying to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go over and see my sister Mary for a week. You have to interrupt the pattern. Whether you just give yourself a reason to be out of the town
system. She could sign up for something. Like if she has aqua aerobics, she has aqua aerobics.
Yeah.
But she just needs to be really, really direct on that. And again, that's where the risk is that somebody, but ma'am.
So you're differing the two of you now. So you're, Alison, are probably saying, have the chat and go, this can't continue. And you're saying to tell a few white lies.
If they are people you can, there's some people, Ray, you can be very direct and honest with, and there's a lot of people you can, who aren't worth your directness and honesty. And I've just got to that stage in my life where I just tell fibs because some people just are. I could be lying to you now, Ray. So no, I think Alison's approach is absolutely the best approach if everyone is signing up for a bit of honesty and directness. Because this seems to have happened by stealth, I just think break the pattern. Whatever it is you need to do, break the pattern. Because if you aren't there next week, they'll have to put something in place and therefore they've made the change.
And you know, this is a perfect opportunity for other people who are in similar situations to say, I heard that on the radio and maybe broach a conversation that they've been finding it difficult to have.
This is such a disrespect here as well. That's just becoming really normalised.
Yeah.
And I think it is an important conversation that, you know, if someone's to mind your child, don't use that you're their grandmother, you have a great relationship. That's actually not honouring the relationship that's actually there.
And I love, it's not frivolous. Yeah. It's not frivolous to mind yourself.
And you deserve to have your life.
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi there. I'm married to a wonderful woman, but In the last year, she's withdrawn from her chatty self and is kind of withdrawn from our evenings together. As soon as our children go to bed, she starts scrolling on the iPad and will sometimes put on headphones and not talk at all. I'm actually starting to feel lonely in her company. I've tried asking several times for her to put it away, but she says she needs to relax and that's what helps her to do that. She gets annoyed with me when I ask, so I've stopped. I really miss her, even though she's a couple of feet away from me. God.
These bloody things, honestly, they're so addictive and they're designed to be addictive and distracting. My suggestion is either buy in a ready meal or cook a meal. Put in some more effort, because it's hard. It's rude if somebody cooks you dinner to then have your iPad at the dinner table.
Is it at the dinner table? It doesn't say it's at the dinner table.
No, but no. If he goes and he cooks her a meal, goes an extra yard terms of air and makes an evening of it. Valentine's is coming up. Take advantage of the situation and then see what it's like to actually just have a not giving out to her. Because you can't shame her rent.
Yes.
Just have a nice evening, the two of you. Open up a bottle of wine. Go for a walk, whatever it is. But I think cooking a meal, everyone has to eat,
right,
is a good idea.
Yeah. I think everybody knows. People must know that this is creating a huge problem in our world. You know, being on screens.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that, don't they? So is it not an easy conversation to have then?
I think it's a two-step conversation. And like you, I would go in soft first. And I go for a connection before correction. When he's kind of given out to her and saying, put that away, she probably feels like she's been the bold child and, you know, she's disregarding it. So I totally agree with Ray, and I would go in and say, what's going on? I've noticed that in the evenings, are you feeling a bit overwhelmed? Are you feeling a bit overstimulated? Were the kids at you all day long? She's obviously just kind of going in and the iPad's asking nothing of her. Maybe she's been asked all day long. So I would go in really curious and say, look, I've noticed you're not as chatty. Are you okay? I really, like you'd often say, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and I would say it, I really miss you. It's so hard to get time together, isn't it? And then to look at ways, and if that is just a 20-minute walk around the estate in the evening, or maybe saying to her, do you want to go off there? I'm actually serious. And go off for 20 minutes and catch up on your socials and then come back and we'll watch something together.
It's difficult to compete with everything that iPad has to offer.
Absolutely.
Like, you're only a man from the Midlands or from wherever you are. You know, and she, everyone has on the iPad their device, they have the world at their fingertips.
Mm.
It's very difficult to compete with that.
But I suppose you're not competing if you go back in with connection.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of it really, isn't it?
And again, like, even I was saying this to Alison outside, even myself and my partner had to sit down and just make a New Year's resolution that two evenings a week we would put the screens away.
There you go.
And like, should we know this?
Yes.
But we still have to make that commitment.
So it's connection before correction. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Ray O'Neill, Alison Keating, thanks so much.
Thank you
very much. And I hope you can sort that out.